here gainfully since I started out at the mine. Now I'm here. And I don't know where I'm going to end up at the end of the day. But it's good to be here. I wanted to point out, yes, our AGM is coming up on Tuesday. For those of you who have the agenda and who will be voting, please come to that meeting prayerfully. Go over the agenda and pray over it, and pray over the direction that God wants our church to go in this coming year, because that's important, that we don't just come to the meeting because it's another meeting and not have asked God what he actually wants to come at those meetings. And it's very important for us to come before God. Also, Sandy and Lloyd Hazel are now officially members as well. We will have a membership list up at some point today. If you want to become a member, please let us know. We will just continually be doing membership interviews. We would love for anybody who wishes to be part of the family to become part of the family. This morning, Isabel reminded me we should be praying for Australia. They're having a terrible time right now with bushfires, and the wind keeps changing on them. I don't know how many, a lot of people have died, and I heard like 500 million animals have been killed in the fire, and a whole bunch of people displaced, homes. So I think that it's important for us to remember to pray for them as well in this difficult time. They've just called upon their military and like 3,000 reservists to join the fight in trying to stop the fires, but it's pretty devastating what's happening. And being from BC, we know how bad fires, they're terrible. And so we need to be remembering them. So maybe right now we can just pray for Australia in that situation. So Father, we know that you are sovereign, that you have everything in your hands. And Lord, we just ask that you would, that your love and your grace and your mercy would be evident in this situation in Australia, Lord. I pray that you give people wisdom to fight the fires in the best way possible, Lord. I pray for help for them, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that that through it we would be able to see your purpose. Father, we sometimes don't understand what's happening, but Lord, you know. And so we give the situation to you, and we ask that you be in control of it, Lord. I just pray that your name would be glorified in the situation, Lord. And so we lift up Australia to you now. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over them and be with the people who have lost everything. And we just ask that you be their comforter and their strength in this time. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so this morning we're gonna continue on in the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles with you, flip open to Acts chapter 11. And while you're doing that, let's just pray for God's hand to be here today, guiding us. So Lord, we give you this time. Father, help us to focus on you this morning as we look at your word. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us through the power of your scriptures, through the power of your living word, Father God. I pray, Lord, that that by your Spirit you would help us to understand and to apply what we read, and that you would just show us the truth of your word, Lord. And so this morning, Father God, we give you this time. We ask it to be all about you. We ask for you to show up and be in this place. And we ask that you would change us, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for this time. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 10, we have seen this man, his name's Cornelius, send for Peter to come to his house. Cornelius is a man who's serving in the Roman army. He's stationed in Caesarea. And he sends for Peter to come because God has told him that he needs to hear a message. And Peter comes. He comes from Joppa. He's been staying with a man in Joppa. It's about a day's walk. They walk down there, and he meets Cornelius. And he says to him, You are well aware. He's speaking to Cornelius, and Cornelius brings out his family, his friends. He wants everybody to hear this message that this man Peter is going to bring to them. And so Peter walks into this house of Gentile people. For the most part, Peter's been going about spreading the gospel message to Jewish people, people who don't know Jesus Christ or haven't heard the good news of Jesus Christ. For the most part, he's just been sharing that message. Well, right now he walks into a room of people who are Gentiles. And in chapter 10, verse 27, verse 28, he says, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection." And then he asks, "May I ask why you sent for me?" See, in Peter's mind is that he was supposed to be going out and sharing the news with the Jewish people. Up until this point, he didn't think that he was even supposed to associate with Gentiles. But as he's preaching to them and as he's sharing the good news, and because of what God has shown Peter in visions, Peter's able to share this with these Gentile people, and then they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. And Peter, in verse 48, he says, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. And then they asked Peter to stay with him for a few days. He shares this message. He sees that they received the Holy Spirit. He realizes now that God is showing him that the truth of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, isn't for Jewish people alone, but for everybody. That Christ came to die for everybody. That he laid down his life for the sins of you and me and the Jewish people and everybody in the world. Now that's great news. And then Peter, after he stays with them for a few days, he goes back to Jerusalem. And in chapter 11, we read about how the apostles now are responding to this news that Peter has gone out and associated with these Gentiles. And so in chapter 11, verse 1, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." And so we see this sort of trend of ideology that these people had. They were standoffish about this word being spread. To me, it seems odd in that Jesus Christ gave them the commission to go out into all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even Jesus Christ, before he ascended, he commissions them to be witnesses to the very ends of the earth. But in all fairness, they didn't have the scriptures to fall on to or lean on like we do. So maybe I'm a little bit harsh, but this is what Jesus was talking about when he gave these commandments. The same command that we've been talking about a lot lately. In our church, that message was for Peter and the apostles at that time to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, just as much as it is the message to us and a commandment to us to go out and spread the good news and make disciples. and to be witnesses to the very ends of the earth. Whatever that might mean for you, but we see that he is criticized by his own people, and this is the Apostle Peter, okay? He's a pretty important guy so far. When we see Jesus crucified, when we see the disciples of Jesus at the time of the crucifixion, we know that Peter has abandoned him in his worst time of Jesus' life. Peter has denied him and said, "I did not know him. I don't have anything to do with him." He's scared. He's kind of abandoned him. Judas has already sold him for money, and we see how these major people's roles kind of clash, where Judas ends up to the point of shame. He kills himself. Peter repents and turns and trusts in the Lord, and he takes on a leadership role. And when we ask ourselves, or when we look at the series of events from this man who is so afraid of this little girl to the point where he gets up and he preaches boldly in the name of Jesus, for 3,000 people are added to their number, to the number of the church. One thing that changes in between those two things is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at being afraid, struggling with things, whatever it may be in our life, when we look at how we move from that to the point of being able to speak boldly in the name of Jesus, to being able to live our life as disciples, we need to receive that free gift, the Holy Spirit, and actually submit to the Holy Spirit's leading. I was listening to a sermon, and I never really thought of it this clearly or in this way before. That Peter, at that moment when Jesus is being crucified, is so afraid. I really want to paint this picture for you, because he's walked with Jesus, he's seen the miracles, he's listened to the teachings of this man who for 3.5 years has done things that they never even knew about, who has talked about being the Messiah. And even when Jesus asks him, "But who do you say I am?" Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the true Son of God." Like, he knows that. But then in a moment, in a scary situation where there's persecution and Jesus is being tortured and he's about to be hung on a cross, in a scary situation, Peter denies that belief, that thing that he has held on to. He denies it. But then the Holy Spirit comes, and he receives the Holy Spirit, and he leans on the Holy Spirit's leading, and he's able to preach boldly. And there's a switch there, because he very easily could have preached to this little girl that recognized him as Jesus' followers. As Jesus' followers, he could have very easily said, "He is the Messiah. They are hanging him on the tree right now." He very easily could have confronted her in that situation, but he didn't. But then shortly after that, he confronts an entire city. And the way that the Holy Spirit uses him impacts people to the point where they turn their lives around. And so they had this idea of going out and speaking to the Jewish people and explaining the good news of Jesus Christ and how he died for them on the cross. And they're seeing people come to them, come to the church daily, come to believe in Jesus Christ daily. And then he gets this call, he gets this vision from God and saying, don't call anything impure that I have made clean. And Peter doesn't understand it until he meets this man, Cornelius. And he's able to share with Cornelius and his family and all of his friends. And then he sees that the gift of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for them, but it wasn't just for the apostles, but it was for everybody. And he's like, "This is great news." But then he has to come back to these other leaders The Apostle Peter, this man who walked with Jesus, who took on that leadership role in the first church, he has to come back to Jerusalem, and now they're asking him to explain his actions. They're asking him to explain, what's going on here? You went and you ate. You went and ate and stayed at a house with uncircumcised Gentiles. What are you doing? Like, I don't... That would be extremely difficult, right? These guys have been through persecution. They've been through watching the Son of God being crucified. They've been through the start of the church. They've been through it all. And now Peter's coming back and he has to answer to these guys. What are you doing? And he tells the same story. He tells the vision that God gave him. He tells of how Cornelius's men came to Joppa to come and get him and to take him back to Caesarea, and how he shared the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, and has, as he was preaching, how the Holy Spirit came on these Gentile people in the same way that it came on us, he says. It came on them. And he says, and who am I? In verse 17. So if God gave them, verse 17 of chapter 11. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? And then in verse 18, when they heard this, when the other apostles heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even to Gentiles God has granted repentance that leads to life. Even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And see, when I read this story, it's kind of like a repeat of chapter 10. And we're like, well, you know, did we really have to hear that all? Couldn't we have just heard, when they heard this, they had no further objections? That could have just been added at the end of 10. Luke, what were you doing when you wrote the book of Acts? You wasted our time. But no, because this very easily could have been a division point in the church. This very easily could have been something that fractured what these people had built up already. And because this happens all the time in churches everywhere, there's something that people disagree about and they have these strong feelings towards, and somebody's called by God to step out and do something different. And then when they bring that news back, there's no acceptance. There's no listening to reason. There's no asking God what he wanted. There's just division. But in the early church, there isn't division. They listen. And I'm sure that the conversation was maybe a little bit lengthier than what we get to read in the scriptures. But in the end, they had no further objection and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. No division. Because the goal of the believers was more important than the individual ideals that each apostle had. And that's key for us, because there's lots of us who have very strong opinions. There's lots of us who have very strong beliefs. We've held on to them forever. We don't want to hear anything different. We don't want to change. We definitely don't want to have a conversation about it. And it leads to division. When I read this story, it tells me that as a church and as a group of believers, as family in Christ, then there needs to be an openness to hearing different points of view. Always sticking to biblical truth. For sure, 100%. But being able to talk to one another about different ideas, about different things that we feel God's doing in our lives is important. And it's important to be able to have those conversations and not be divided over them. Because some of the worst things that happen in churches is division and hurt. And it's important when we read this last sentence in verse 18, God has granted even to the Gentiles repentance that leads to life. That is truth there. Repentance leads to life. Repentance of sin. Repenting means looking at the things in our life that we know don't line up with what God wants for us, and actually saying, I'm sorry, and I'm turning away from it and focusing on you. You know, repentance is a heart change. It's not just praying a prayer once and then thinking that it's good. Repentance is working through everything in your heart, making that decision. I'm turning from this to you, God. Turning from what I want to what you want. And it's hard. It's not easy. And my hope is that each and every one of us can get to a point where we can make that decision. You know, for myself included. I hope that when I'm faced with the things that I know God wants me to change, that I'm strong enough to know that what God wants is better for me than what I want. And to turn away from that and truly mean it in my heart is repentance. Truly mean it in my heart is repentance. And in the next part of chapter 11, we're going to hear about after the persecution that happened when Stephen was martyred. When Stephen was killed, the Christians were scattered. They traveled as far, this is verse 19, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. That ideal kind of comes up again. But then it says, but some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So they've been spread out, and they've been speaking to Jews to as far as they've been spread out. But now some of them have even taken this word to the Greeks in Antioch. And the Greek people, they were very much like, they held knowledge and learning to a very high standard. It's an interesting fact about the Greek people. They really thought highly of like philosophy and just learned, educated, cool ideas. They thought highly of those things. And so for these people to take the word of God into Greece, into Antioch, to these people, God's hand had to be on them. The Lord's hand had to be on them. Because it wouldn't be an easy place to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Even like right now, it isn't an easy place for us to go out and take the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it's foolishness to those who don't know him. The Bible says that it's foolishness to people who don't know Jesus. And if we think about it in terms of the world, maybe it is that this guy was able to die on a cross and forgive me of everything that I've done wrong. Does that make sense to anybody? But only by the Spirit of God are we ever able to be convicted to that point where we realize the truth. And when we realize the truth is able to set us free. When we get to that point where God is speaking to us and it's so clear. It's so clear, thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, the life, that you are truth. But it's only by the Lord's hand that any of us are able to get to that point. That any of us can come to repentance. Because it's a tough concept. Especially here and now, in our times, right? Like, we all have jobs, we all are able to afford what we want. We talk about this lots, but in North America, that's a tough concept for us to go, you know what, I can provide for myself, but I need to lay down what I can do and trust in God to do things for me. And maybe it's a spot that we haven't all got to yet. You know, like, to really trust in God to provide for our needs. And it would have been the same thing for these people going to Greece and taking the word of the Lord to Antioch. And then it says that news, in verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, of the grace of what God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. This is another truth that each and every one of us here in this church need to remember. We talked a little bit about this doctrine of perseverance. The doctrine of persevering to the end. That is keeping our hearts true to the Lord till the end. Remain true to the Lord with all your hearts. And see, this is another thing. When we ask ourselves, when we truly bow down before God, and when we pray, and when we seek the Lord with all our hearts, and we ask Him, Lord, reveal in me where I need to change. Remaining true to Him is listening to Him and changing. Today we get to come before the Lord's table, and every time that we do, I remember this, that it's an opportunity for us to do that. To ask God, you know, what? I know what you've done for me. I know the sacrifices you've made for me. To forgive me the things that I've done wrong. Now, Lord, reveal in me the things that I need to change. You died for me. The least that I can do is live for you. And so it's a truth that God's been speaking to me a lot this past little while, is that, you know what, if I died for you, and if you really believe that, if you really believe what Scripture says about me, and you really believe that I lived and died and gave myself for your sins, then the least that you could do is live for me while you're here. Because there's no other way, guys. There's no other way that leads to life than relying on Jesus Christ. And I'm pretty convinced that relying on Jesus Christ means that we are different here on earth. They remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a man, Barnabas was a man, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord in Antioch through him. And then Barnabas, he goes out to Tarsus to look for this man named Saul. And not too long ago, we saw this man named Saul, and we saw the persecution and the hurt and this idea that he could stop Christianity. We saw this man changed, and when we looked at his life, you know, if God wanted to use a guy like that, he wants to use a guy like me. He wants to use people like you to impact the world. And Barnabas sees something in Saul, and he goes and he finds Saul, and he's like, come with me. We've got a mission. He brought him back to Antioch, and so for a full year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And this sentence, again, Timmy points out that there's a need for us to become disciples. We call ourselves Christians all the time, but a Christian in biblical time was a disciple, somebody who was imitating the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. And I'll invite the worship team to come up. And during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. And the disciples, as each one was able, talking about the believers in Jesus Christ who changed their lives, the disciples decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. And they did this, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This was an opportunity for them to give back to the very people who were able to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to them. They were going to be facing hardships and trials and a difficult time, and these believers now who believed in Jesus Christ saw a need, and they were wanting to help out with that need. And as each one was able, they sent their gifts back. When we read these stories, when we read of how the church stuck together, it reminds me of how we are all called to stick together, to stay true to the faith, and to keep Jesus in our hearts at all times, remembering. Right now, what we're going to do when we come before the Lord's table, we're going to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we're going to take the opportunity to say thank you. But it was a sacrifice that changed the history of the world, that gave us access back to God. But we have to receive that gift. And we have to submit to the Spirit's leading. After we receive that gift, that's what we do. We submit to the Spirit's leading, and we ask God to help us to change. So I'm going to invite the ushers to come up to start to serve the emblems. We just ask that when you receive the emblems today, that you hold on to them so that we can partake of them together. Oh.